The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. At the end of Parshas Re'eh, it states, Dvorim Tezayin, Posuk Yud Gimel, Chag HaSukkos Tase Lecho Shiva Shomim. The Torah here is speaking of all of the Yom Tovim and of the Shreish Regolim. And it states, Chag HaSukkos Tase Lecho Shiva Shomim, you shall make for yourself a Yantif of Sukkos for 7 days. Be'os Becho Migon Cho Umi Yikvecho. When you gather in from your crops, V'somachtu B'chagecho Ato Avincho Vitecho V'abdecho V'amosecho Va'alevi Va'ager Va'ayosem Va'almono Asher B'shorecho. And you shall rejoice on your holiday, you and your sons, your daughters, your manservant and your womanservant, and the levi, and the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow which is in your gates. Shiva Shomim Tochid L'Hashem Elokecho B'Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. For 7 days you shall celebrate to Hashem in the place which He has chosen. Ki Yivirechecho Hashem Elokecho B'chol Tevuoscha B'chol Ma'asi Yodecho V'Hayisa Ach Sameach. Because Hashem has blessed you with all of your grains and all of you, the work of your hands, and you shall have only joy. So here the Torah tells us the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now we never have the opportunity to speak about Sukkahs because Sukkahs usually takes place in Bein Hazmanim during the break of the yeshiva. So let's take the opportunity this evening to speak about this mitzvah and this yantif. In Parshas Emor, which is Vayikra Chof Gimel, Posuk Mem Beis, the Torah states, Vasukah is Teishvu Shivash Yomim. You shall dwell in Sukkahs for 7 days. Here in Golus, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we sit in the Sukkah for 8 days. But the actual din of the Torah, and that's how it's done in Eretz Yisrael, is 7 days. Basukis teishvu shivash yomi, kol ezroch b'Yisrael yeshvu basukis. Everyone, the stranger, the native, they all have to sit in Sukkahs. Leman yedu de resechem ki basukis ishafti es b'nei Yisrael behitzio isom eretz Mitzrayim. In order that your generation shall know that I placed you in Sukkahs, the children of Israel in Sukkahs, when I took them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Where did Hashem place the children of Israel in Sukkahs when He took them out of Egypt? So the Gemara brings in Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis that actually it's a machlekes. There are two opinions. The Sanyo ki besukkahs ishaftis bnei Yisrael anani hakoved hein divrei Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says this refers to the Anani HaKovid. This refers to the cloud of glory which Hashem used to guide us and to protect us in the desert during the 40 years. This is what is meant, that Ki Basukis Ishaftis B'nei Yisrael, that I have placed Klal Yisrael in Sukkos when I took them out of Egypt, that for 40 years I gave them a protection of my cloud. The second opinion is Rabbi Kiva Mesukis Mamish Osulahem. Rabbi Kiva says, yes, there was the Anani HaKovid, there was the cloud of glory, but there were also Sukkahs. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually had us build Sukkahs in the desert, which there we dwelled, and we moved them from one place to the other while we were there. And the Gemara tells us that what is the concept of Sukkah? What should a Sukkah be? So the Gemara says in many places, Say mi diris kva, the ase lecho diris aroi. Go out of your temporary, go out of your permanent dwelling place, your home, and make for yourselves a diris aroi, a temporary dwelling. Your house, which has a permanent, is a permanent structure, and in particular the roof, is something of permanence. That's your diris kva, that's your permanent dwelling. And there you live all year. A sukkah is a very flimsy structure. The roof has to be something which is of a non-permanent nature and cannot protect the person entirely from the elements. That's a diris aroi, that's a temporary dwelling. So, on sukkahs is a mitzvah of ase lecho diris, say mi diris kva, go out of your permanent dwelling. Ase lecho diris aroi, and make for yourself a temporary dwelling during this week. Now, we can ask a few questions. Firstly, this mitzvah, that we should go out of our houses and live in a flimsy structure. The Gemara brings that these types of structures were not only used for a mitzvah, the mitzvah of sukkah, but they were used for other purposes. The shepherds used to use them. When they used to build, they had to build some type of protection from the, some type of shade protection when they were watching the sheep or they were watching the cattle. So they used to build structures like this. And then they could move them from one place to the other or take them down and rebuild them. To leave a person's home, which is a strong fortified house, and to live in a temporary, flimsy structure, like a sukkah, for a whole week, seems sort of strange. What is its purpose? What is its reason? Second thing we can ask, Pesach we understand very well. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We went out of Egypt. We were taken out of Egypt. Shavuos we understand very well. Matan Torah, the Torah was given. But what is Sukkot for, of the Gimel Golim, the three Yom Tovim? Is it to remember the time in the desert, like it states, that I caused you to dwell in Sukkot when you came out of Egypt, and the Gemara brings these are the Sukkot of the desert? But what took place there that we have to remember? Torah was not given there. We already have the celebration of the Torah. It was not the shichra, the freedom, that we already have the celebration of. So what are we celebrating? And what are we trying to remember with the mitzvah of sukkah? A third question. If it is for the zecher of the sukkahs amidbar, to remember the sukkahs of the desert, so then why does it say in the posuk, Ki b'haytzi aysam me'eretz Mitzrayim? This posuk that we just read, L'man yedu de'ereseichem, in order that your children shall know, Ki v'sukkes ishaftis b'nei Yisrael, that I caused you to dwell in sukkahs. And when is that? The Gemara says that's during the 40 years in the desert. Then the posuk says, B'haytzi aysam me'eretz Mitzrayim, when I took you out of Egypt. So it would seem that the remembrance is for the going out of Egypt. But going out of Egypt, we already make a yantif for, that's Pesach. So if it's for the sukkahs amidbar of the desert, why do we need this remembrance of the going out of Egypt? So we're asking three questions. Firstly, what is the concept, what is the meaning of the concept of this mitzvah? For the person should leave his comfortable home and a strong home for a week and go live in a flimsy structure. Secondly, what are we celebrating? Or what are we trying to remember? Pesach was the shichra, the freedom. Shavuos was the giving of the Torah. Here, what are we trying to remember with Sukkot? Is it the 40 years in the desert? What are we trying to remember in the 40 years of the desert? And thirdly, if it has to do with the 40 years in the desert, why does the posuk explicitly state, when I took you out of Egypt, which seems that it's linked with the going out of Egypt. Then, we can ask another question. The Gemara brings in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Very interesting Gemara. In the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Beis and Daf Gimel. And Beis Omer Aleph, the first half of the Masechta, Dorish Bchanina Bar Papa, Vitem Reb Simloi. In the world to come, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a Sefer Torah, and he's going to sit down and put the Sefer Torah on his lap. The Amen is going to say, the Misha Osak Bo Yove Vitel Skore. At the end of days, in the world to come, that will be the time for dividing up the reward of the Torah. Because the Gemara brings La seisom, hayim la seise, that today we must do ulamocha le kabuschar, and the reward comes tomorrow. The reward comes in the next world. So when it comes time for the next world, will be the time of dishing out all of the reward. So Kodesh Baruch will bring out his sefer Torah, sit down and put it on his lap, and he'll say, everyone, come now and let him claim his just reward. Immediately all of the nations of the world are going to run in with a great disorder, each one trying to break down the door first, to come and collect their reward. Shneimar, as it states, kol agoyim nikpatzu yachtov. All of the nations, as it states, will gather together. Omar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al tichnasu lefonai berabuvya. Elatikona is called Uma v'Uma v'Seifreho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says you don't come to the king that way. It's not derech eretz. You don't come in with all confusion. Each one, let each nation come, one at a time, and each one with its leaders, and let them present their case. So the Gemara and Daf Beis on the days goes through a whole sugya, who will come first, and who will come second, and who will come third, and so forth and so on. And each one, Kodesh Baruch will ask them, what do you want? They'll say, we've come to collect our reward for the Torah. And Hashem will ask them, what did you do with Torah? And each one will say what they did, how they helped Israel fulfill mitzvahs and fulfill Torah. We built great bridges for them, and we built great places of commerce for them. And all of this was for the sake of Israel, so they could learn and they could do. And on each one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will completely almost annihilate them and throw them out and tell them that you're liars. Anything you did for yourselves. You weren't interested in Israel and you weren't interested in Torah. And you have no reward. Finally, and with the Almighty, there's no argument. It's not like you come to a court and you're left up to the judgment of flesh and blood. Finally, when they see that they have no case and they don't have a leg to stand on, they will come and plead, but can't you give us something? Give us at least some opportunity? Give us a mitzvah now, and we'll do the mitzvah now so we will have the reward. This is Andav Gimel. Tino lono mereish b'naseno. Omele na Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Sheitim shela b'ilam. Mi she torach b'erev Shabbos, yechel b'Shabbos. Mi she lay torach b'erev Shabbos, b'hechen yechel b'Shabbos. He says, now Shabbos. The world to come is like Shabbos. When do you have what to eat on Shabbos? He who works erev Shabbos and prepares erev Shabbos has what to eat on Shabbos. But he who does not work erev Shabbos, from where will he have to eat on Shabbos? He who did mitzvahs and studied Torah in this world will have reward in the next world. But you that didn't do anything in this world, so where do you expect in the next world? Fools, he told them. Afal pi kein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is a great Rachman. He's very compassionate. He says, even so, all right, I'll listen to you. Even though I should not, but I'll give you a mitzvah. Mitzvah Kali Yeshli. I have a very light, easy mitzvah. The Sukkah Shema. Its name is Sukkah. Lechu v'asu eso. I'll give it to you. And go fulfill it. And then you'll have a mitzvah that I can give you some reward for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this because of his compassion towards them. And the Gemara says, why is this called a mitzvah kala? Why is Sukkah called such an easy mitzvah? Because she'ein mishum delespe chesron kis. It costs no money. Right? A sukkah, as far as the Torah is concerned, costs no money. We want to build beautiful sukkahs. All right. But to fulfill the halacha, it costs no money. If you go out into the fields and you'll see how the shepherds built a sukkah, which was 100% kosher for the mitzvah, because as far as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is concerned, it can be any type of structure, any type of shelter, and the only requirements is in the schach. And the schach is supposed to be from the gerin and the yekev, from the leftovers of your grains, from the leftovers of your vines, see, from the leftovers of your olive trees. So what does that cost? That's the pselus. That's what's thrown away. So you have to bring a few branches and throw it over some shelter and you have a sukkah. So zein l'chesron kis, it's a mitzvah which costs nothing and therefore it's called a mitzvah kala. In other words, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt if he'll give them an expensive mitzvah, it won't be fair, they won't want to spend the money on it. So I'll give you an easy mitzvah. Immediately everyone, all of the kings and all of the servants of all of the nations of the world run home and they go up to their roofs. In those days it was the derech, the way, it was the mannerism to build sukkahs on their roofs. And they made a sukkah on their roof. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would fill the chama with Tekuvas Tammuz. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would sort of punch a hole in the atmosphere in which the intensity of the sun could come out in its full force, a sun of Tammuz. Tammuz is the month which just passed, and that's the hottest month. It's the hottest month in Eretz Yisrael in the Northern Hemisphere. Sukkot is usually a little cooler because Av is a little cooler, and then Tishrei is even cooler when Sukkot comes. But he brings out the sun in the intensity of Tammuz. And here they're sitting in their sukkahs, and all of a sudden this intense heat comes along. And each one gets up and he gives a kick and he bitterly complains. And he walks out of his sukkah. And that's what David HaMelech said, that all of the nations will come together. And they'll come with a great complaint. This is what they're complaining about. They're complaining about the mitzvah of sukkah. And they'll leave the sukkah. The Gemara says, but why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? I in HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba bit runya im b'riyosov. Is Hashem deceitful? What does he do? He gives them a mitzvah and then brings out a burning sun in order to drive them out of the mitzvah. Why does Hashem do that? So the Gemara answers, because Yisrael Nami is Yimnan the Mishkal Lehu Tekuvas Tammuz Ad Chago Vahavilu Tzara. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not deceitful. He wants to give them a fair test. And many times during the year it comes out that the season, the period of the sun of Tammuz stretches all the way till Sukkot. That happens many times, that if it's an early Sukkot, even though it still comes in Tishrei, but that's in regards to the lunar system. But as far as the solar system, you can have an early sukkah and you have a very hot sukkah. That's because we are still experiencing the sun from the tekufa, from the period of Tammuz. So many times Jews have to go through that also. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it wouldn't be fair to give them a cool sukkah. So we'll give them a hot sukkah. Then the Gemara says, but so what if they ran out of the sukkah? They didn't break the mitzvah. The deen is that mitzvah is potter min asukah. That when we sit in the sukkah, if we have discomfort, the mitzvah is, the deen is, that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah in that situation. And you must go out of the sukkah. So if you're sitting in a sukkah and it gets so hot that you can't take it anymore, you don't have to wait till there's a danger to one's health. But if there's a serious discomfort, that's a mitzvah, and you're potter from the sukkah, you're free from the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Gemara asks a good question. So what kind of complaints now do you have on the nations of the world? Even Israel would not have to fulfill the mitzvah under that circumstance. So the Gemara says, Nihi the potter biuti mivat. Yes, Israel would be potter in such a situation, but would they bitterly complain? When Israel goes out of the sukkah because of discomfort, the Gemara brings in Masechta Sukkah that they go out like with achno, they go out with humility, they go out with their heads down. The Gemara says like a servant that brings a cup of wine to his master and the master threw it back at him. So they don't start yelling, they bow their heads down and they walk out with great humility. But here, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, once I brought the hot sun, you should have heard them yell, you should have heard them complain, and you should have heard them curse. And then it states, HaKodesh Baruch Hu yesh shev umesachek aleihen. And HaKodesh Baruch Hu scoffs at them. He says, see, the nations of the world have no portion in the reward of Torah. And it's a happy day for Hashem, because he can give reward to Klal Yisrael who earned it, not to the nations of the world. This is the Gemara. Now here, we can ask further. Firstly, if Hashem wants to test the nations of the world and distinguish them from Israel, when it comes to the reward of mitzvahs and reward of Torah, why is the mitzvah of Sukkah chosen? There are 613 mitzvahs. Why is the mitzvah of Sukkah chosen to be the particular mitzvah that will distinguish between the nations of the world and Israel? That they have no reward in mitzvahs and we do. The second question, why do the nations find it difficult to fulfill this mitzvah? This seems very strange. If they want reward in the world to come, and who doesn't want reward? So why do they have difficulty fulfilling this mitzvah? It's a mitzvah kala. It's an easy mitzvah. Ein bechesrin kis, it costs nothing. It's a mitzvah which you don't have to be meisa nefesh. Many mitzvahs we have to give all of our energies for. This is a mitzvah that as soon as it becomes a little uncomfortable, if the sukkah becomes wet, if the sukkah becomes cold, if the sukkah becomes hot, then we don't have to fulfill it anymore. We become exempt from the mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah that doesn't require money and doesn't require tzar. It's not a mitzvah that a person has to give his life for. It's not a mitzvah that a person not only give his life, it's not a person that a person it's not a mitzvah that a person has to give such tremendous effort in. It's a mitzvah kala. So why can't the nations of the world, speaking here of the great nations of Rome and the Greek Empire and Babel, why can't they endure this mitzvah? So we're asking two other questions. We'll explain this built on various morals in various places in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Tesvov, and also in the Chidushi Agodas in Avodah Zorah there. The moral brings He brings from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Sar Gimel Amar Aleph. Amar Rabba. The Rabba said, "La'elam tehemin adi odofim, ve'lemin areitfim." A person should always be from those who are pursued, and not from the pursuers. Shein loch nirdav ba'efes yesem min atorim uvenayenim, because in the birds, those birds which are pursued mostly are the torim and v'neyona. These are the doves and the turtle doves. V'hekshirin akosav l'gabi v'izbeach. And these are the only two birds which the Torah accepted on the altar as a sacrifice. So therefore a person should always be, rather than from those who pursue, from the pursuers. Then there's a medrash in Keheles Rabba Perek Gimel. Shlema Melech wrote in Keheles, Elokim Yavakesh Yisanidov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always seeks the pursuer. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon B'Shem Rabbi Yosi Bar Nehori, Le'elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevakesh Anidov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always likes the Nidov, the one who's been pursued. Hevel Nidov Mipnei Kain, we see that Hevel was pursued because of Kain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of, he had a better eye towards him. And it brings many, many cases. Until it brings Yisrael, Nirdaf Mikol HaUmes. Yisrael is pursued by all of the nations. Ubocha b'Yisrael, Shenemar ubecho bocha Hashem. And Hashem has chosen Yisrael. Reb Lezer Bar Zimra said, Sho Nirdaf Mipnei Ari. The bull, the cow, they are pursued by the lion. Eis mipnei nomer. The goat by the leopard. Keves mipnei zeiv. The sheep by the wolf. Leikriv lefonov lemina reitfim, elemina niedofim. And we are not allowed to bring the lion, or the leopard, or the wolf as a sacrifice before Hashem, but the bull and the goat and the sheep. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the ones who are pursued, not the pursuer. This is what the Gemara brings, and this is what the Medrash. Now, what is the meaning of this? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevakesh HaSanidov? Why does he like those who are pursued better? And secondly, why is that a reason to Hekshirun L'Gabi Mizbeach? That those who are being pursued, they can be used for sacrifices on the altars and the other not. And another question, what does this have to do with Israel? Because Israel is pursued, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Israel. The answer to this is every creation has a place, has its mokum. Like it states in the Mishnah Novish, Ein loch dover, shein loch mokum, shein le mokum. Every creation has its place. And the place which it has is the place which is fit for that particular creation. A mokum amyuchad lei, a place which is specifically fit for that particular creation. And since it's specifically fit for that particular creation, therefore, we don't find a mokum with this miyuchad l'shnei dvarim. You can't find one place which belongs to two creations. Every creation was given a place, and not only a place, but its place. And therefore, its place can be only for it, not one place for two creations. A nirdof, some creation that's constantly being chased out of its place and constantly being pursued. And this represents something or someone that's always been exiled from his place, moved from his place. This is a sign that that place is really not his proper place. Because if it was his proper place, he wouldn't lose it to something else or to someone else. The Raidev, the one who's constantly chasing others out of their place, that's a sign to the contrary, that that's its place, that it rules over its place, this is its proper place, and therefore it's standing up for its territorial rights and constantly chasing others out of it. You know, in the animal kingdom, one of the most respected laws is territorial rights. Every animal has his place, and he rules over it. So those who can rule successfully, this is a sign that this is their place. And those who are constantly being challenged by others and being exiled from their places, that's a sign that's not their real place. And this is why they're being exiled. And this is how it is with the creations. The bull and the goat and the sheep and the dove and the turtle dove, they've always been exiled from their places. This is a sign that they don't really rule over these places, and these places are not really theirs. And on the other hand, the lion and the leopard and the wolf or the eagle, that they're always the pursuers. This is a sign that these places are theirs and they rule. They rule with a strong hand. Now, so is it with Israel. Israel is constantly pursued, like we can see historically. In this world, they're constantly pursued. This last Golus, which is the longest Golus, Israel's been refugees for 2,000 years. They go to one land and they're eventually thrown out of it. They go to another land and they're eventually thrown out of it. And another land, and so forth and so on. This shows that these lands are really not theirs. And these are not their places. To the contrary, the greatest pursuer in Jewish history is Esav. Because this Golus, this exile is the longest Golus that Klal Yisrael ever had. And this is the Golus Esav, the Golus of Rome. So he's the greatest pursuer. He's the Raidif, the greatest Raidif. And to the contrary, we see that his empire has lasted longest of all of the empires. He and his seed. And the strongest of all of the empires, the Gemara tells us. And they rule with strong hands and with fortresses and so forth. So this is a siman, this is a sign that this is his place. Now, why should it be like that? The answer to this is because this battle between this Roman Empire and Israel goes back to Yaakov and Esav. And Esav was the pursuer, and Yaakov was the one being pursued all of the time. If you look through the parshas, Yaakov is always Vayetze Yaakov. He's always running. And they are totally contrary. Like we spoke about many times just recently in a shir, Vayitzaitzesu Habonim Bikirbo, when Rivka was carrying the two, there was such turbulence, she didn't know what was going on, she had to go to the Novi, to the prophet, to find out. And there was a war going on in her womb. A great war, a great reeve. And why? So the Chazal tell us because they were totally contrary. Even before they were born, their natures were totally contrary. Yaakov was the spiritual giant. He was Muchan La'elam Habo. He was going to become the master of the spirit and the master of the world to come. Esav was the physical giant. He was going to become, he and his seed, the master of this world, the master of the physical world. And they both wanted both worlds. Therefore, there was a great fight going on. And finally, they came to a pshorah. They sorted it out. And this is brought in Pirkei Reb Lezer, Perek Lamed Hei. That Yaakov told Esav, Michra ki yayim b'cheiros chali, sell to me your firstborn, birthright. So Esav answered, he says, Lama li b'cheirav, ani eilech lomus. What do I need the firstborn birthright for if I'm going to die? So he sold it to Yaakov for the Nazir HaDoshim, for the porridge. Now what was the transaction? The transaction was something physical, food, sustenance of the physical world, traded hands, and beheirosko, and substance of the spiritual world traded hands. Because what is the firstborn birthright that gave that person the right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash? This is what traded hands. And Esav said, why do I need it? Shani Helech Lomus. What did he mean? He said, this world is my world. I need something that will serve me on this world. My firstborn birthright is of no value to me in this world. Because whatever I will, any mitzvahs or service that I do, that's a reward in the next world. And the next world is not my world. Bani Eilech Lomus, I am going to die. But what about after his death? So the Chazal say, Mikan Kofar Esav B'tchias HaMesim. I don't believe in the next world. So what do I need my firstborn birthright? I need something for the physical world. So therefore, he gave to Yaakov, he says, I give up any right I have of the next world. And you give me any right that you have in this world. This is what went on, the Pirkei that the Blazer explains. So therefore, this world is Esav's world. This is his place. It is not Yaakov's world. The next world, the spiritual level, that's Yaakov's world. That's not Esav's place. So now we can understand why in this world we find great hatzlocha, great success to Esav. States, all of the cities of Esav are built up, and all of the capitals of Esav are built up. And the great homes of the world, the great castles and palaces, that belongs, this all belongs to the kings of Esav. Esav was divided into many, many kingships. We don't find great Jewish kings owning immense castles and palaces. Because this is Esav's world, this is his place. And when we want to look for success by Yaakov in this world, we see Vayetze Yaakov. Where he settled in one place and he started to have success, it was time to move to another place because he was driven out. When he started to have success there, he was driven further out. Yaakov is Hanirdof, he was the one pursued, and Esav was the one constantly pursuing. This dominance is a sign that this place is rightfully belongs to Esav. He ruled. And the fact that Yaakov constantly was exiled, his seed was constantly exiled, is a sign because it's not their mokum. The place doesn't belong to them. And therefore they can't hold on to it. And therefore they were constantly pursued from those who were pursued. This is why we find the Arichas HaGolus, the exile, so long. It states Esav was called Esav because he was born. Esav comes from the word asu. He was already done. He was born totally physically mature. Rashi brings ki ben shonim harbe lachei nikra Esav. He was a baby, but many years old he was like. This is a sign because he's the epitome of the physical world. He was red, Edom. Why was he red, the Chazal say? Because the sun is red. And he was the great light. The sun is the most powerful king of the physical world. Yaakov, on the other hand, was Mor HaKotan. Yaakov was like the moon, the Chazal tell us. Not the great light, but the little light. Because in this world, Yaakov is second fiddle. He's the little light in this world. States Yaakov is Yeshiva Olim. He dwelled in tents. What does it mean he dwelled in tents? In tents of Torah. And Torah is something which is from another world. It's not from this world. But why tents? Why couldn't it state that he dwelled in a bais, in a house of Torah? So the Maral says, because what is the difference between a tent and a house? A house is a strong fortress, a permanent structure. A tent, people use tents when they travel. They're easy to assemble and they're easy to disassemble. They can be moved mimokum lamokum. It's a temporary dwelling. And Yaakov's dwelling in this world is very temporary. So the nature of Esav and his seed is that of a strong physical nature. And therefore they relate very strongly to the physical world. The nature of Yaakov and his seed is of a strong spiritual nature. Therefore they don't relate to this world so well. They relate better to a level which is higher than this world. So is it with the animals. There were certain animals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a strong physical nature to. The lion, the leopard, the wolf, the eagle. And they relate very well to this world. And they ruled over their places. There were certain animals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a weak physical nature to. He gave them a very weak physical nature and he made them somewhat separate from the physical world. He gave them a little spiritual nature. So therefore they do not relate very well to this world. This is the cow and the sheep and the goat and the dove. And therefore we find Shein mina didofim yesem mina b'nayin v'atorim. The dove is always being pursued because it doesn't have a place in this world. And the same thing with these other animals. And therefore, Hikshirin Akosav Eitz al-Mizbeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted those animals for the Mizbeach. Because what is the Mizbeach? The altar? The altar is the Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh is a place also which does not relate to the physical world. It's Nivdil, it's separate from the physical world. The altar is where something would become spiritual. So therefore, these creatures could be accepted on the altar because they do not have a strong physical nature. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevakesh HaNidof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always chooses those that are pursued because they identify with him better. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kodesh. He is separate from the physical world. He's above the physical world. And therefore he identifies better with those that do not relate to the physical world. And therefore he was Bochar B'Yaakov Vizare. He chose Yaakov in his seed. Because they identify to him much better than Esav. And this is why Yaakov was called Kodosh. Yaakov is referred to Kodosh. Kodosh means something which is sanctified, elevated, nivdal from the physical world. Esav was totally physical. Yaakov was elevated beyond the physical world. Now, this is the explanation why Hashem chooses the Nidofim and not the Reitfim, and why he chooses Yisrael and not the other nations. Now this level that Klal Yisrael has, where did they get this from? This was the level of Yaakov. But where did Klal Yisrael get it from? Where did they put the final seal on it? The Chazal tell us the Yitzias Mitzrayim. When they went out of Mitzrayim. This Kedusha, this sanctity, that they can elevate themselves, sanctify themselves, separate themselves from the physical world, and become higher than a mere physical being. This they acquired at the Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why it states, B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Ha'isa Yehuda Lekotshei, that when they went out of Egypt, there Yehuda gained Kedusha, sanctity. He was the king and the nation gained a sanctity. Now, why was this? It's for a simple reason. Egypt, the Chazal tell us, was the most beautiful land in the world. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael, we cannot. Eretz Yisrael is a different. That's a different category, because Eretz Yisrael is a spiritual land. But from all of the physical lands in the world, it states Egypt was the most beautiful. It was the most beautiful and the most lush. The Nile River would come and irrigate it, and it was the most fertile and lush and wealthiest of all of the lands of the world. It encompassed Kol Tuv Elam Hazeh, all of the goodness of this world. This was Egypt before HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed it. They were very proud of this land. And where Klal Yisrael stayed was B'meitav Eretz Mitzrayim, in the best of Eretz Mitzrayim, Goshen. Goshen, Yosef asked for the Goshen, which was the fat of the fattest land in the world. It was because Egypt was like this that the Egyptians sunk to such acts of lowliness. They were in a land which had Kol Tuv Olam Hazeh, all of the goodness of this world. So it was basically a land of physical lushness, and they became drawn into it and after it to the point where they sunk totally into the physical world. And when a person is drawn into a total physical world, so then he's drawn into all types of abominations which a physical world can bring to a person when it's detached from a spiritual world. And therefore it states, Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim, the acts of Egypt which I take you out from, Leisasu you shall not do. Because I'm taking you out of Egypt, I'm taking you away from this. And the Chazal say that from here we learned that Maase Eretz Mitzrayim hoyu yose miku koli mishar kola umes. The acts of Egypt were more abominable than any other nation, with one exception. So this was what Egypt represented. Egypt represented a physical world of ultimate beauty, but detached from a spiritual world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, he didn't merely take them out of the land. It was a shichru, it was a freedom from all of this which it represented. He took them out of a physical life, a life limited to physical luxuries and enjoyment and physical pursuits, and he freed them from this and detached them from this and brought them into a high spiritual plane. And this was the Yetzia, this was the Exodus, because it was the Yod Chazok of Zerayin Atuya. They went out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strong hand and outstretched arm. B'yod Ramo, they went out with Eiseis Nisim V'Niflos. They saw all of the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was Hanogas Hashem. In other words, they went out at a level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becoming free and detached from this ultimate physical level. So here it was where they acquired with a permanency this Kedushas Yaakov, the sanctity that Yaakov had laid the foundation for, where they could become sanctified and elevated and free themselves from a totally physical life, a physical endeavor. Now, after the Exodus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them into the desert. And there they lived in the desert for 40 years. Originally, they were supposed to be in the desert for just over a year. They ended up for 40 years. But the 40 years that they lived in the desert, this was not a physical life. This was not a physical life at all. This was a different dimension. This was a spiritual dimension. Why do we say like that? Because the desert was just the extreme opposite of what Egypt was. Egypt, in Goshen, was the fat. Shmanei Oretz. It was the fat of this world. The lushness of the Nile River. And the desert is a place of lezorua, where nothing grows. Ein balechem ein b'may. There's no bread and there's no water. Nechoshim v'akrabim. Snakes and scorpions. This is the desert. So the desert is just the total opposite of the lushness of this world. Yet they lived there for 40 years. So the 40 years in the desert, they were living in a spiritual dimension. Hanhogas Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of them. While in Egypt, they were living in the physical dimension. And they had become freed of this. And how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect them in the desert? This is with the Sukkos HaMidbar, the Sukkos of the desert. According to one opinion, Sukkos Mamash, they actually built Sukkos in the desert, and this was their protection. And according to the other opinion, it was Anani Akovit with his cloud of honor. But whatever it was, while in Egypt, they lived through the physical security of the world. But in the desert, where there is absolutely no physical security, it's Eretz Lezorua, nothing grows, there's no water. There they lived under the spiritual security of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was what they were doing, is that they were actually living the level that they acquired when they became freed from Egypt. They acquired this level when they became freed from Egypt, and they put it into practice during the years in the desert. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you a yantif. And this yantif is to celebrate this new level that you came to. The level which you lived in the desert with. It's a level where you live not under physical security, but under spiritual security, under my security. Therefore, tzei midiras kevah, go out of your permanent place of dwelling. Your permanent place of dwelling represents your strong physical fortresses of this world, where you live under physical security. And for 1 week of the year, asi lecha diras aroi, make for yourself a temporary, fragile structure which cannot protect you from the elements sufficiently at all, and you will live under my security like you did in the desert. Tzei mitachas tikras bais. Go out beneath, from beneath the roofs of your house, and live under the schach of the sukkah. So what are we celebrating? We are celebrating the level of life that we practiced in the desert for 40 years. That's why it states, Leman yedu deiriseichem ki besukkah se shafti esom. In order that the generation shall know that this was the security that I gave you then in the desert. And it's still with you. Therefore, 1 week out of the year, go and live like that. Why does it say, when I took you out of Egypt? Because this level was acquired when you went out of Egypt. So therefore, there's a link to both. This was the level you acquired when you went out of Egypt. You went from the fat of Egypt to a new dimension of a spiritual level. But you put it into practice during the years of the desert. So therefore, it's to remember and to relive the level in the desert, but which you acquired when you went out of Egypt. Now, this mitzvah, though, was given only to Israel. To no one else, just to Israel. Why? And there's a simple reason. Because Israel, that do not have a place in this world is not theirs. So it's easy, comparatively easy for Israel, at least it's not going against their nature, to tell them to leave this world for 1 week and go live in a sukkah. Because if someone doesn't, his place here is not really his place. So it's comparatively easy for him to divorce himself from that place and go live in the sukkah. I maybe will ask, but still we're not angels. Even though this world is not our world, but safe, call safe, we still live in this world. We're not angels. It's not the next world yet. This is true. That's why we're not commanded the whole year to go live in a sukkah. A whole year we must live in our house. The mitzvah of sukkah is only one week out of the year. Because we still live in this world. But nevertheless, it is possible for us to leave this world for 1 week and go live in a sukkah. Because the attachment to this world is not a total attachment by us. However, what happens if by living in a sukkah we have to go through duress, we have to go through tsar, discomfort? Then the Torah said, no, then you don't have to keep the mitzvah sukkah. If it's going to be suffering by sitting in a sukkah, this is a unique mitzvah. We don't find this by other mitzvahs. Because we still live in this world. So we cannot and we're not allowed to detach ourselves from this world. So as long as it's not, we don't have to endure suffering by sitting in the sukkah, then it's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah for a week. But if we're going to have to endure suffering, no, then there's no mitzvah. Because that's too much against a nature of a physical human being, where he must have a physical world. But nevertheless, even when we suffer from sitting in the sukkah, the Gemara says, how do we go out of the sukkah? We go out with humility, we go out with achno. We go out with a prayer that we're upset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a situation where we couldn't stay in the sukkah. What does this show? That the sukkah is not against our nature. We want to fulfill the mitzvah. It's not against our nature. Except HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that not now. In the next world you'll have total opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah sukkah. In this world, you have to fulfill it, but only if it doesn't go too, only if it's not too difficult. So therefore, this mitzvah was given to Klal Yisrael to relive and to celebrate and to bring out to them this dimension of theirs that they have a physical nature, but a spiritual nature. And they can detach themselves also to a certain degree from the physical world. But by the nations of the world and by Esav, this mitzvah is impossible. Because Esav is the master of this world. This is his world. This is his place. This world is his place totally. And therefore, he cannot detach himself from this place. He cannot live a level of a spiritual dimension, but only a physical dimension. And if he tries, it's totally against his nature. So therefore this mitzvah was not given to them, it was only given to Klal Yisrael. Because this mitzvah relates to the nature of Klal Yisrael, but it's the antithesis of the nature of Esav. Therefore it was not given to them. Now when it comes time to collect the reward for Torah, and what is Torah? Torah is something from another world. Those who will collect reward from Torah will have to be people who can identify with Torah, who are close to Torah. And that will have to be people who have a very, very strong spiritual nature, because there can be nothing with a stronger spiritual nature than the Torah itself that comes from upper worlds. And therefore, Klal Yisrael can easily fulfill mitzvahs. And when the nations of the world come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, give us our reward, and we find the reward is not in this, the reward is not today, the reward is tomorrow. Why? Because the Torah and the mitzvahs are so spiritual that the reward is, cannot be in this world. It has to be in the next world. And the nations of the world come and say, give us our reward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what kind of mitzvahs did you do? And after the whole interrogation and cross-examination, it comes out that they did nothing. So the nations say, look, give us another chance. Give us a mitzvah and we'll show you that we're deservant. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have just a mitzvah for you. See, we want to test you. Do you have a link, a bond with Torah? Or do you not have a bond with Torah? If you have a bond with Torah, then you have a right to come and demand the reward of Torah. If you don't, then you don't have. He says, I have just the mitzvah for you. Mitzvah kala. He says, a very easy mitzvah. It'll cost you no money. It's not even a mitzvah that you have to suffer for. The minute you suffer, you're free from the mitzvah. A mitzvah kala. Here, take this mitzvah and go fulfill it. Go collect your reward. And immediately they all run home to their roofs and they build sukkahs. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings out a hot sun, and all of a sudden they start to curse and they start to yell and they start to complain and they run out of their sukkahs. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if you can fulfill sukkahs, then it's a sign that you can detach yourself from your physical world here and climb into a partial spiritual level. And if you can climb into a partial spiritual level, this will be a proof that you have a link with Torah, which is spiritual. And then you will be deserving of the spiritual reward of Torah. But if you cannot fulfill it, it will be a sign that you cannot detach yourself from this world at all, because you're totally physical. And then what do you want from Torah? What does Torah have to do with you? See, he gives them this mitzvah. And they curse and they complain. And the Gemara says, but so what? So what that they went out of the sukkah? Klal Yisrael would also leave the sukkah in such a case, of such duress. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. But they would leave it because they're forced to leave it. Because I told them to leave it. I told them that mitzvah b'sukkah is potter, that in a sukkah when you're under duress you must go out. But not because they want to leave it. Here, the way they left it, this is a sign that their nature cannot identify with sukkah at all, with this level at all, but it's their nature is the antithesis, just the opposite, contrary to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sachik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. The Gemara brings, this is the only time that he laughs. Brings. Why? Because here is clearly defined the level of Yaakov against the level of Esav. The level of Yisrael against the level of Edom, of the other Umay Sa'ilam, of the other nations. So this is the explanation. This explains to us what is the concept of this mitzvah. Go out of your permanent dwelling and live in a temporary dwelling. Why? What for? Because Klal Yisrael, all of the time, even when they live in the physical world, They do not live in the physical world. They happen to be here. But they live in upper worlds also. And this can be illustrated and proven from the fact that they have the capability of leaving this world and going living under HaKadosh Baruch Hu security for a week. And this level came, L'man yedu deyreseichem, v'yitzi'eschem me'aretz Mitzrayim. This level came when they lived under the security of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the generations of the desert, which was a totally non-physical security, opposite of Egypt, and they acquired this through the shichru, through the detachment and being freed from Egypt. And this also explains the celebration of the Shantif, and also explains to us why HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses this mitzvah to test out the nations of the world to see if they also have a chelek, a part in Torah, and explains to us why this mitzvah, even though it's a seemingly easy mitzvah, under no circumstances can they fulfill. As I mentioned, we never have the opportunity on Sukkot. Many times in our Sukkah we've spoken about the mitzvah of Sukkot, but in the yeshiva we never have the opportunity because it comes out during Bein Hazmanim. So I wanted to take the opportunity to give us, which gives us some very good insights into this mitzvah of Sukkah, that we hope that in the not too distant future we will all celebrate with great simcha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.